This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rich Bradbury, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm in the studio with
Lily Chai.
It's Thursday. It's not quite Friday, but it's almost there. And today we're speaking about quantifying workplace values. A little bit of a chat about this. And if you want to get in touch with our show today, Lily's going to tell you how you can do that.
WhatsApp 018-018-789-8899. Or you can tweet us on Twitter at BFM Radio.
Well, you sound like you've rehearsed that. Weather's not too bad today, folks. Hope you're doing all right. Hope you sat down having a lunch and you're comfortable and ready to listen to us for about an hour or so. Babylon. Now, in this post-pandemic work environment, the scope for job satisfaction has now widened beyond just wages and company benefits to include work culture and value systems. It's becoming more important as employees tend to gravitate towards organizations that share similar values as they do. We'll be hearing from Sheila Singham a little bit later on, who's the managing partner at Human Equation, to understand the role of values in an organization. So, leadership and career opportunities are some of the key company cultures that ranked highly according to a survey on Glassdoor very recently. You know, a few years ago, it might have been things like ping pong tables in the office and pool tables in the office and free food, and all of these things have changed ever so slightly. And when it comes to hiring, company culture is ranked equal to the salary being offered. And the survey polled more than 5,000 workers from the US, from the UK, France and Germany to gauge the importance of having a sense of shared mission and company culture in the modern workplace. And according to Christian Sutherland Wong, Glassdoor president, having a compelling mission, culture and values is critical for attracting two entirely separate things and retaining top talent in a competitive job market. Many businesses are now making the effort to figure out how they can keep top talent from jumping to another employer and also on how they can attract fresh talent.
So let's take a quick dive into this, okay? How important is company culture or company value these days? So 2/3 of respondents said that work culture was an important consideration when applying a job. So, interestingly, the survey also indicated generational differences when it comes to the level of the importance they place on workplace culture. And the older workers tend to view work culture as less of an importance.
What was that little snigger for?
Okay. Older workers, as I said, they view work culture as something less of an importance compared to younger age groups. And this is not surprising. The study also shows that workplace values and culture also play an important part in talent retention right now. And more than half of respondents cited that company culture as the main reason for them to stay. So roughly about 70% of global respondents also affirmed that they would quit their jobs if the company's culture has changed for the worse.
Okay, so while encouraging a positive workplace culture may attract hiring, having an overall mission statement or values that align with a potential applicant's views is also crucial. Almost all of the people surveyed felt it was important that employers have a clear mission and a purpose. The survey also showed a company's mission mattered when applying for a job. After hiring, more than half attest to the importance of a clear mission or value that will enable them to stay engaged at work. And according to the Harvard Business Review, there are three components behind every great work culture, namely mission, vision, and value. So let's go over those for those that might not be familiar. So the mission covers an organization's purpose and reason for existing. Vision would encompass aspirations on what the business would like to achieve or be in the future. Values is the way an organization commits to working. It's also a statement of how a company operates and principles it will abide by. So these are not meant to be set in stone, but should evolve just as the environment around a company evolves. Mm-hmm. And as the world has gone through drastic changes since the pandemic, business must reevaluate their culture and values to match today's context.
So what is today's context? There's this renewed focus on things like mental health, physical health, flexibility, diversity, and equity among these among other things. And business clients might have also gone through some changes during this period as well, which could make them reassess what they want and need from businesses. And employees could also shift their focus towards purpose, which is less connected to what an organization stand for. So there are five company values that employees find attractive in the work environment today. Now, the first kind of value is valuing corporate social responsibility. Mm. And employees are starting to look towards companies with social awareness programs in place. And this covers initiatives like where companies contribute money, time, and resources to charity or nonprofit organizations. And over the years, this number has increased as the younger generation places social responsibility on the higher list mm-hmm. of the priorities when they're looking for jobs. And the second value that they are looking for is a place where employees have a voice. And when employees don't feel like a company values their opinion or, you know, their concerns about their mental state or whatever it is, this can lead to lost talent, recruitment and retraining costs. And it's been shown that workers are more productive and engaged when they know their thoughts are valued in their company.
For sure.
Yeah. And the third one that I'll be talking about is employee appreciation, right? So many employees quit companies when they feel underappreciated. And the opposite is true when employees are appreciated as they feel valued. It's just like the second, like what we mentioned before, right? And appreciation also improve workplace morale, which can resonate out into the workplace, thus creating a positive working environment.
When you get a slap on the back, you know, for doing a good job, you know, wherever it is, that you feel good, and that is passed down amongst your colleagues. Mm. You know, you're in a better mood. But anyway, stuff like employee well-being, that's number four. You know, as we mentioned, physical and psychological well-being of employees should be considered an important part of companies' value systems as well. Workers excel and feel motivated when companies care for their well-being. Promoting employee well-being has been proven to reduce absenteeism and company healthcare costs, improving productivity and morale, and thus results in a good employer branding. You know, if you're sick and you need medical treatment and you know your company got your back, you're not going to worry so much about going somewhere else. And the fifth point is seeing the benefits of hybrid work arrangements. And we keep harping on about this, but it's such an important thing nowadays. One of the key things that has changed during the pandemic was the work from home model that was adopted by many companies. And as the world slowly transitions into the endemic phase, many companies are offering a hybrid work environment. The flexibility of a hybrid work environment has been shown to equal the productivity of a full staff office in many cases. Most employees surveyed have shown a strong preference for working from home and are happier when doing so. It also helps employers reduce operational costs and creates a safe work environment by limiting the amount of people in the office. So, you know, let's talk about current workplace culture. Mm. I mean, not necessarily here, but for people who are tuning in at home, how do you feel about that? Let us know about your, whether it's corporate culture, your workplace culture. I mean, the thing is about radio stations is that a lot of it can be done hybrid, you know, and a lot of it is done hybrid nowadays. And I think at first we were kind of playing around with the idea of how we can and cannot do it, what we can and can't do. I know other radio stations here in Malaysia were going through the same kind of difficulties, and there was discussions in back rooms amongst radio stations about how they were going to do it. But what about your friends outside of BFM, Lily? How have they coped with how things have been? Have they been using hybrid work models?
Yeah, they have. And everyone is reacting very positively towards, and everyone reacts differently as well. Some, they feel like they work more productively at home. Some, they think that, you know, being in the office, being in the environment, you will have that kind of flow compared to when you're at home alone. When you see your colleagues working, there's some kind of like effect to your workflow as well. And one thing that is noticeable is that appreciation is very important. Giving your employees feedback, I think that is very important as to, you know, why you are there. Why are you doing what you're doing? Mm. What kind of purpose you will give the work a purpose. And that is why feedback is so important. And I remember Audrey telling me, no feedback is as bad as bad feedback.
Yeah.
And I think among my peers, we value that a lot. And we also take that into consideration when switching jobs as well.
Yeah, I think both you and Audrey are absolutely right. You know, the idea of kind of working in silence, if you know what I mean, without anybody telling you you're doing good or you're doing bad, it's...
You don't know if you need to grow and how you can
correct.
Grow.
Yeah. Correct, yeah. Okay, folks, that's one of the questions we're asking you. How do you feel about your current workplace culture? Does it align with your values? And, you know, for business owners or entrepreneurs, what are some company values that have shaped the way your office operates? Let us know. Get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter, of course, get us at BFM Radio. We're having a short break with a bit of music from Wilson Pickett with Land of the 1000 Dancers. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Bright, formidable media. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. Who are you?
Lily Chai.
We're going to be with you for a little while longer. If you want to get in touch, like one of our listeners has done, 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. So we asked you, how do you feel about your current workplace culture? And as business owners, what are some company values? We've had a message from listener ending 4414, who says, it's unfortunate that the smartphone has messed up the work culture. And I assume possibly... by this, and correct me if I'm wrong, that means you are available 24/7.
That is true.
I think that's probably what it means. If I'm wrong, do let me know. And if I'm right, you know, give me a pat on the back, because as Lily said, good feedback is always helpful. Any feedback is always helpful. Let's just quickly remind you of what we're talking about today. We're talking about quantifying workplace values. And in the post-pandemic work environment, the scope for job satisfaction has now widened beyond just wages and company benefits to include work culture and value systems. And it's becoming more important as employees tend to gravitate towards organizations that share similar values as they do. We've been through a whole bunch of stuff. We've spoken about missions and values, you know, and how they're important, and giving you the five company values that employees find attractive. Mm-hmm. Now, to hear from somebody else, we do have somebody on the phone with us, and it's somebody you've heard quite a bit here on BFM, particularly on Enterprise. It's Sheila Singham. She's the managing partner at Human Equation. Sheila, how do you inculcate values in an organization so it's not a one-off thing?
Well, I believe that values need to be built into the culture of the organization. They need to be woven into the very fabric of things. You know, the values need to be inculcated into the onboarding process, brought up at every meeting, reflected in all communication, marketing efforts, product development, you know, sales, interfaces with stakeholders and so on. People need to be taught how to translate the values into behaviors. You put up a list of values for people, they look at it, beautiful words, but so what, you know? So, for example, if one of the values of the organization is, say, respect for others, then at every department, every level, employees must be asked what that means to them, what they understand by it, and what behaviors would they engage in to display these values to the stakeholders. Then these behaviors should be sort of collected, listed, and spelled out for all to see on a daily basis. The expectations on how the values should be reflected throughout the organization should also be frequently spelled out to the employees. Not in a didactic way, like you need to show this and you need to align with these values, but to other different platforms, you know, videos, WhatsApp messages, LCD screens around the office, the intranet, you know, whatever activities the company does. And of course, the leaders should reflect the values in their behavior, in their speech, in their interactions. So if you really want to ensure the success of these values being inculcated, you need to reward those who reflect the values through their behavior. And of course, you need to also call out those who violate the values and take action if the, their behavior is detrimental to the integrity of what you're trying to do with respect to inculcating the values. And that's something that many organizations don't do. They don't reward people who practice the values and, you know, take action against those who violate it. All right, so if you want to inculcate values, make it part of the culture, you need to have constant engagement and communication with the employees, get their feedback on issues, and take action on the feedback to show employees that they are valued, to show employees also that the values that you're trying to inculcate are important, critical to the organization.
Right. Sheila, can you share with us, how do you quantify values in an organization?
I'm not quite sure what you mean when you say quantify, but I'm going to take it to mean, how do you evaluate if the values are being practiced, or how do you, you know, assess if they have an impact on the organization? So if that's what you mean, then there are some metrics that we can look at depending on the values itself. Now, one of them is to conduct polls and surveys among the stakeholders, the critical stakeholders, everyone who's got a connection with the organization, employees, the customers, the vendors, maybe the shareholders, the community around that, you know, is affected by the business that you're doing. Then you could have focus group discussions with, you know, similar different groups of stakeholders, different ages, different demographics, and so on. You could also look at your customer satisfaction index. If, let's say, one of your values is customer-centric, and customer satisfaction index is very low, then clearly that's not being practiced. You could also look at employee engagement survey, because if you are saying that one of the values, for example, is teamwork, people-centric, you know, employee focus, and employees are not happy and you're getting low scores, then you would have an indication that maybe those values are not being fulfilled. Of course, if the values are being practiced and you have like a happy organization with a great culture, you will have reduced turnover, reduced absenteeism, and you could even see more creative ideas being generated because people are given that sort of like freedom to express themselves. And when you have more creative ideas, this can actually be translated into business opportunities. Another metric you could look at is the exit interviews. I mean, it's not to say that just because the culture is great, people are not going to leave. People leave for different reasons, maybe growth, opportunities to grow, a higher position, which the current organization is not able to offer them. So people can also leave for reasons where it's not that they're unhappy, right? So talk to those at the exit interviews and find out, what was the experience working with the organization? Did you feel the values were being fulfilled, and so on? And of course, you could do a brand audit, you know, to find out how people perceive your brand, because I very strongly believe that values drive a culture, and the culture will drive a brand.
And Sheila, how often do you think values should be revisited?
Well, I think for companies, you should do it at least once in 5 years. Although I think that every corporation, every organization, entity should actually revisit their values post-pandemic. The world is sort of going back into, you know, sort of business as usual kind of thing. But things have changed so much in the past 3 years, right? So it's really, and especially if your business model has changed considerably, or if you have had a massive influx of new blood into the organization, or there's been a merger or acquisition, you need to revisit your values. On a personal level, you need to be looking at your values again every few years, particularly when you have completed one phase of your life and are poised on the threshold of a new phase, or when you are at a crossroads and sort of not quite sure where you're going, what you want. It's really good to go back and revisit your values, have them elicited, because they will sort of give you a compass of what you need to do, what motivates you. If you are the leader of a small company and your values are kind of define the company and how it runs and the vision and the culture and so on, and they're being cascaded down to your employees, you need to evaluate your values again every few years to see if they have changed. If your values change, priorities might change, and the direction of the business might change. So I strongly advocate truly being in touch with your values and checking them out. I had my values elicited in 2019, and I had them elicited again this year by my own coaches, my colleagues and coaches, and I found that there was a substantial shift. I don't know, maybe the pandemic has caused my priorities to change, but definitely my values hierarchy has changed.
I think everybody's has changed somewhat, Sheila. Okay, let's take a short break. Folks, if you still want to get in touch with the show, you've got some time left. 018-789-8899 is the number via WhatsApp. Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. We're talking about evaluating your workplace values as, you know, the scope for job satisfaction has now widened beyond just wages and company benefits to include work culture and value systems. And it's becoming more important as employees tend to gravitate towards organizations that share similar values as they do. If you want to get in touch, I just remind you again, 018-789-8899, Twitter at BFM Radio, listener number ending 4414, where you said it's unfortunate that the smartphone has messed up the work culture. You've still not let me know if it's because you were contactable 24/7. Let us know. We'll be right back after these messages and a song from Sheryl Crow with "A Change Would Do You Good." Of course it would. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's almost time for us to wrap up for today, but we've got a few more questions that we want to get answers from Sheila Singham. I'm Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with
Lily Chai.
Remember the WhatsApp number if you want to get in touch, 018-789-8899. Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. We're talking about evaluating your workplace values, how the scope for job satisfaction has now widened beyond just wages and company benefits to include work culture and value systems, and it's becoming more and more important as employees tend to gravitate towards organizations that share similar values as they do. We've been hearing from Sheila Singham, the managing partner at Human Equation, to understand the role of values in an organization. Sheila, you helped us with a bunch of questions earlier on. We spoke about inculcating values, quantifying values, and revisiting values. But we want to talk about, as organizations grow larger, how do you ensure values don't get filtered and forgotten?
You can't place the responsibility for inculcating the values or reminding people about the values solely with the leaders of the organization, leader or leaders, or any one department. We must send out the message to every employee and empower every employee at every level to speak about the values, to sort of encourage their colleagues to talk about the values, and also to call those out, you know, who violate the values. Everyone has to be empowered, encouraged, and exhorted to be the custodian of the corporate values. They're just not a bunch of words on the wall that's put there to, you know, make the company look good. They need to be practiced. So every activity that the organization does along, you know, throughout the years, right? Not just when you come up with a list of values and think, oh, okay, we need to, you know, sort of disseminate this and tell everyone these are our values. You need to have continuity, whether it's through employee engagement, whether it's onboarding, marketing campaigns, corporate social responsibility, internal and external communications, innovation projects, you know, business innovation and so on. All of these need to have the values at the core. The values need to underpin everything that the company does, right down to the way people talk to each other and treat each other. And so that's why I said earlier that when things are going wrong or people are not adhering to the values, we need to take action. All right. So it needs to be built into maybe the policies of the organization as such. So that's the sort of like bit more hardcore way of doing it. But a softer way I find would be through storytelling. Compile stories. You know, stories are a powerful tool for connecting with emotions. And so compile stories that are centered around the values. You know, get stories from customers, from your employees, both present employees and former employees, those who are retired, those who may have gone to another, you know, organization, left in a good way, former leaders, present leaders, anyone who had an interaction with your company. See, values are the deepest driver of human behavior. And so they really resonate with our emotions. Let me give you an example. If you watch an advertisement where values are being portrayed, it really moves you. But if you look at an advertisement with lots of data and numbers and so on, it doesn't move you so much. All right? So when you embed values into everything you do, when you tell stories about people who have adhered to these values, it's one way of really having a powerful impact rather than just the didactic way of, you know, sending the message about values through lectures and posters. Those are all fantastic. Make no mistake about it. They're needed as well. But for me, in my business, in training, in whatever I do, I have realized that weaving my a message into the story is one of the most powerful ways of influencing people.
Okay, final question, Sheila. In the case of the individual you did business with initially in good faith, how do you ensure moving forward to see the next person you work with has the right values with you?
That's a tough one. Well, you know, people can say they have the right values, but they can behave contrary to those values. I am always someone who believes in thinking the best of people at the outset until they, you know, prove me wrong. And so I normally do that. Even when people purport to subscribe to a value system, I choose to believe them. But as we go along, it is their actions that reveal if they are actually congruent with those values. If they are not, I extricate myself from the relationship. But here's the thing, some people are very good at hiding their true selves behind a mask. But inevitably, the mask will slip, or you may begin to get a gut feeling about the incongruence, you know, their incongruence, in which case you need to be careful. In the case of this individual, the one that I wrote about, you know, I did have a gut feeling that told me something was off. But I did not heed it because, you know, we always want to be rational. We operate in the headspace and we think, oh, at this point you don't have evidence, you simply cannot judge people, you know. So it was when I was presented with evidence of her lying and cheating that I actually pulled away and cut it off for the sake of the integrity of my personal brand and my company brand, you know. So it taught me a valuable lesson, actually. That from now on, not to just think with my head, not to just apply logical thinking to say, no, that person can't be like that, you know, because they're portraying something. So we're making decisions about people and friendships, business relationships. I shouldn't just think with my head, but I should also listen to my gut feeling. Yeah, the gut feeling is actually the part of your unconscious mind which is there to protect you, and it senses things that your conscious mind sometimes doesn't pick up. So, I mean, in my business as a coach, I'm able to do it with my clients, but sometimes, you know, you have people who come along and they just seem to be absolutely wonderful, and it could be a mask. So just be very, very very sensitive, and don't ignore the signals that your gut feeling is telling you something's off about this person. All right. So I've learned that now.
Well, thanks very much for that, Sheila. I do pay attention to my gut very often, and it's telling me that I'm really hungry right now. How about yours, Lily?
Yeah.
Yours as well?
Yeah, I'm hungry as well.
Yeah, okay. But no, on a serious note, I think that's something that a lot of people don't really pay attention to and really, really should.
There's something about, I read somewhere, if you feel physically uncomfortable, like how when we meet certain people, some people will have like stomach ache or like a weird feeling in their body. They say listen to your physical reaction and they are telling you something.
Interesting. Right. That, of course, was Sheila Singham, the managing partner over at Human Equation. We've been listening to her thoughts on this particular topic that we've been talking about today, and that is all about evaluating your workplace values. As we know, the scope for job satisfaction has now widened beyond just wages and company benefits to include work culture and value systems. It's almost time for me and Lily to wrap up for today, of course, but if you did miss any part of the show, don't forget you can download it wherever you normally get it from. We recommend the BFM app. That's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Stick around, though, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. Even though the pandemic has hit bookshops greatly with retailers shifting to e-commerce, Book Excess has gone from 8 physical shops before the pandemic to 19 in July, famed for the world's biggest book sale, The Big Bad Wolf. How did the company thrive as fairs were not allowed to happen? And where else will Book Excess expand to? The Breakfast Grill spoke with Andrew Yap, the co-founder and managing director of Book Excess. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. To take us up there, a bit of music from Peter Frampton with Show Me the Way here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.